The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. You understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I guess that means I'm supposed to talk. Anyway.
Definitely means you're not supposed to be blowing your keyboard.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of dust in here. I don't know where it comes from. But
around, like you just gestured.
Very dusty.
The air.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. The only place in the world you can do that with guys that actually know what they're talking about.
Oh, wow. Shots across the bow from Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that there's other people out there talking about Patriots, but this is where...
Not a ton.
This is where you get the informed stuff.
But this time of year, not a ton.
No,
with,
there isn't.
With the Bruins in a playoff push and the Red Sox doing whatever it is they do.
Right. This is the place you can come and talk Patriots as well as some other things. Tom Brady was talking Patriots this morning on WEEI.
Did you listen?
No, but I read the synopsis.
You needed to listen, though, for the part that entertained me the most because it was related to you. He was asked a Gronkowski question.
Yeah.
And there was a pretty significant 3-second pause and then a little, not even he was as quick to say he's fine or whatever like you have been. There was clearly.
Because he doesn't know.
Because Tom Brady, well, he actually referenced, you know, how much he's been going through this offseason and hoping that he gets back out there and healthy.
Right.
And you know how he's generally pretty prepared and has the, you know, he had the answer ready for Welker and Amendola, and it's not fair to compare anybody to Welker and all that. But when they asked him about Gronk, there was a noticeable pause and almost uncertain start to the answer. And I just, it made me laugh as opposed to, oh, he's fine, that you spew every day.
Well, he doesn't
day.
Know. But, you know, he had some interesting things to say about Wes Welker and how, you know, he's been around long enough to know it's just a business. Clearly taking the company line and clearly not trying to make it a difficult situation for Danny Amendola.
Right.
You know,
but not saying he wasn't mad or upset.
No.
He said those feelings are personal and I keep them to myself.
Right. I'm sure he was upset to see his friend go. And
correct.
Someone who's he worked. But he also realizes that he's got football to play. He's got a current core of wide receivers to work with, and one of which is Danny Amendola, who comes in a difficult situation. He's the guy that now, you know, whether or not it's true, has to fill the shoes of Wes Welker. And he's sensitive to that.
And making it even harder on Welker is, I mean, on Amendola, is the lack of anything else to distract us from. Like, if you had signed three receivers and maybe one's an outside, and yes, Amendola's still the slot who's replacing Welker, but there'd be a little, there's not a lot of hope. I mean, there's rookie hope, but he's kind of the hope of having a consistent target at receiver, so there's not even anybody to kind of.
It's even worse. It's even worse this year too, because with Gronk being unhealthy, Hernandez being unhealthy, the emphasis falls on the one guy who, even though he hasn't been able to stay healthy throughout his career, is currently healthy. Is
no
currently
question.
the big name on the offense right now because of who he replaced.
It's all on his shoulders, yeah. Welker-wise, and sort of just the redo of the receiving core-wise. And
they tried to get Sanders. They didn't get him. They didn't get anyone else. You know what I mean?
Well, they got guys.
They did.
They got Jenkins.
Yeah. They didn't get huge
proven
names.
NFL receiver.
But they had Jenkins before they went after Sanders. Right? Hadn't they signed Jenkins before Sanders?
I didn't think
it was around
so.
Around the same time. I think it might have been after.
I thought it was
Jenkins
after.
May have been after.
Okay.
Donald Jones, they got right away.
Donald Jones was before.
Yeah. Although, depending on how you want to look at the Sanders thing, that was in the works for a long time. He was immediate.
Right.
Because remember the Ed Bouchette story from Pittsburgh saying that he was in a Foxborough and preparing to sign an offer. Some people had reported that he had indeed signed the offer sheet.
Right.
Turned out to be... you know, in retrospect, they probably laid the groundwork and said, let's wait as long as we can because we want to make it harder on Pittsburgh after their cap money dries up. Turned out it didn't work.
So, you know, it's a very fluid situation when it comes to the wide receiver core and the offense in general.
Indeed.
So, but, you know, as he always does, Brady handled it pretty well. Talked about the Kentucky Derby, why he was so excited. I think it was just the thrill of winning and the build-up.
Basically said he became a fanboy.
Yeah.
Like Patriots fans would be around him after winning the Super Bowl, he became fanboy because the guy he was with just won.
Yeah.
Also, didn't say he said, at that point, I didn't know what bets I had made.
Baloney.
He had made bets, meaning he had made bets on multiple horses, one of which was Orb, and his buddy Ben probably collected the fees later, but he had bets and one was on
Orb. I can't
believe
he doesn't know how much he bet on the horse.
Mm. Well, he might not.
Well,
really?
I think if you didn't know.
It's irrelevant.
If you didn't know, he bet an awful lot. Let's put it this way. If you had a $20 bet, you know how much you bet. If you bet, like, you know,
no, but
$4,500, then maybe you don't know exactly how much you bet.
No, see, I think it would be just the opposite. I think it would be just...
Fred, I'm with you. I would know either
way. You don't make $30 million a year.
Yes, and that's the difference. That's why I think it's
conceivable. I also think the other difference is he didn't place the bets.
Go ahead. Have fun.
I think Ben,
you know, here's $5,000, spread it around.
Place the bets.
I think that could have happened.
I don't think he probably placed the bets. He had tickets that somebody else placed for him.
Yeah, right? I think that he may have...
how much you bet.
No, but what I think that could have happened theoretically is that he doesn't even have the tickets. Like Andy said, I theoretically I could see him going to he has a couple of guys, Will and Ben. We use those names here a lot. I know that people don't know who they are, but they're friends of Tom. So I could see him going to Ben and saying, "Here, here's $5,000, here's $10,000. Spread it out.
Right.
Do what you want." So when he says, "I don't know what the bet," I believe him because I don't
think
it was.
I would take that money, pocket it, and say, "Tom, you didn't win.
Yeah, you lost."
Well, that, you know, you just that's the plot for, you know, at least one sitcom for every season, in a movie, the Lou Albano movie. You know, what, I forget the name of that movie. Strippers, help me out here. Lou Albano.
You're thinking of Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, no. Lou Ferrigno. Sorry, I'm Fred.
The number two in the second race. Even you two stunads can understand that.
Right. Anyway.
Captain Lou
Albano? Joe Piscopo and Danny DeVito.
The wrestling manager?
Yes. He was like a mob boss, and he made these two underlings. They were like, you know, Joe Piscopo and Danny DeVito were like low-level.
Wise guys.
That's the name of the movie.
Yeah. Right.
With Captain Lou Albano,
and he gave him all this money to go, and they didn't
have
bet the money.
Did he have the elastics in?
And it came in.
Did he have the elastics?
And the rest of the movie was them being on the run.
Anyway, what other news do we have to talk about?
We got another Rutgers guy.
Oh yeah,
woo!
Yeah,
Haslam,
unbelievable
tackle.
So that makes eight.
Eight Rutgers
on the
guys. Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So you just said it.
Yeah, he's the eighth Rutgers guy.
I didn't even know. I mean, I knew that we signed another offensive lineman. I didn't realize it was another guy from Rutgers.
Sure.
As I like to call it, Rutgers University, Foxborough campus.
Even right now, about 10% of the Patriots roster is Rutgers. If they actually all make the team, that's almost 20%.
Yeah, like double.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening, though. I really can't.
No,
wouldn't
I can't
you prefer
either.
10% of your roster was, I don't know, Alabama?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
National title-winning teams.
USC, Miami. Alabama.
Well, that was one of the great tweets after all this happens. Why couldn't Bill's kid go to Georgia or Alabama?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It's bordering on absurd at this point.
It's absurd.
It's
crossed the border.
This is a four-year veteran that they're claiming off. It's one thing the rookies and maybe they had a connection and Steve Belichick can give these great inside scouting reports on who they are as guys, but now it's just guys that have been in the league 3-4 years that come from Rutgers. It's strange. It's just weird. And Mark Harrison, by the way,
absurd.
We do need to talk about. because I didn't know this when we were talking about him on Tuesday. He was one of the wide receivers at the Combine who was implicated in destroying their hotel room.
Right.
Which clearly, A, he has a broken foot, and combined with that, there were some people that thought he was going to be like a mid-round pick, third, fourth-round pick, as a big receiver, H-back type. And then with the injury and the concerns over whatever he did to the hotel room, he became an undrafted guy, failed a physical in Chicago, and now he's here. So,
all right.
Maybe that's a steal. That could be a value guy.
Could be.
And, yeah, I just, the whole hotel thing I don't get.
Yeah. I'm sure there was alcohol involved.
But have you ever been so drunk you decided, A, I'm going to destroy this hotel room, and B, I'm going to throw my poo around?
I just poop on the floor.
I have been with someone who did.
What do you mean by been with?
Well, I was someone who got drunk and trashed an apartment.
Why?
But why would you want
because
to do that?
Some people get drunk and pass out. Some people get drunk and violent. Some people get drunk and happy.
That's unbelievable to
and
me.
Throw poo.
Well, if you... I'm sure he... I don't want to get into the speculation, but it's
normal?
I'm sure he shat himself. And
oh, I'm not sure that that's what happened at all.
No? No.
He could have
get it from?
I think he intentionally trashed a hotel room. I think he
pooped. What I mean. Yeah.
I think he didn't. Don't think he pooped himself. I think he dropped trowel and pooped in the middle of the hotel room.
I don't know.
Like Manny Ramirez did when he was on the Red Sox. That's the kind of people that we're
Manny
talking
Ramirez
about.
Manny Ramirez did that too?
Yes.
Oh,
that's your kind of guy. So you like Mark Harrison?
I cut ties with him when I heard some of these stories, just so you know. Smacking around the travel secretary.
I thought even beyond that you were still a manager.
He was.
No?
Listen, the guy was a great hitter. I can't just pretend. I can't be a Boston fan and pretend that he wasn't exactly as great as he was because I found out a lot of things that made him a horrific person. He's still a great hitter. But
and steroid user.
He was. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so he's kind
Twice.
Of got the
He got caught. He got caught twice.
No. But I mean,
which is unbelievable.
He's a bad guy off the field, and there's some guys. Okay, you say he was just great on the field. I have to love him, but you even have to question his on-field accomplishments because he cheated to do it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily do that because I don't necessarily because
you love Manny.
No, because I don't question any of this stuff. The only thing I would say, power numbers are inflated, obviously, but
right.
I just think that when the whole league is doing it, and I think you know me, I think the whole league is doing it. I think all four sports, the whole leagues, are doing it. What are you going to do? This is the era that we're in.
Forget about the four sports, all pro sports.
Yeah. No.
There are only four. Right.
Remove pro.
Right.
There are only four.
At all levels right. are using steroids and drugs.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
But do I know that that's what Mark Harrison did? No, but when I hear about trashing hotel rooms and poop being involved, that's what I think. I don't think he had an accident and he just left it there. I don't think that's what happened.
So you don't think the world-class soccer players are doing it?
Doing what?
Steroids.
Yeah, I said all sports.
He said all sports.
Oh, I thought you said there were only four.
No, I said there were only four sports.
Oh.
I happen to agree with him, but no, I think all people in all sports are doing it. Yeah. I think you'd be amazed
and
to find out.
And as a fan,
Lanos.
How could you not think that at this point? You know?
Wow, what a change for you.
Some people don't.
Look,
Some people think we're being typical negative media people.
Well,
and you used to be one of those.
I used to be one of them.
If that's the case.
I believe that there were some that were, you know,
well, there are still some who don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
They're really small in numbers.
Yes.
But to suspect anyone, I don't think is unheard of these days. You know.
And also not like the Scarlet Letter. It's not that big a deal, in my opinion, to suspect a guy of taking steroids.
Yeah.
It's not like you're like blackballing him or brandishing him the worst cheater of all time.
Right.
You're labeling him just like everybody else. He's doing business as business.
You know,
being
it's
done.
Like the naive media types that say, oh, well, that's a slippery slope. You have to be careful. No, we're talking about it. You know, we're saying, you know, well, just this guy's numbers did this for a portion of his career, and then they spiked to this. I wonder, Jose Bautista for Toronto,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3-4-5 years, he was a, you know, sort of hanging on. And all of a sudden now he's one of the premier sluggers in baseball. I think it's right to wonder. Now, are you out and out saying he is this? That's probably wrong, but you have to wonder.
And it doesn't matter if
in
you
this
do.
Day and age.
Like, there's no grand implication.
Yeah.
It's not like you say he's a rapist.
Yeah.
Well,
that's,
whoa.
It's a little
I mean,
there.
That's you know, not everybody's raping. Did you see the Canseco thing?
No.
he's being accused of investigated for raping some woman, and he's like live tweeting the case. Like, he giving the name of the person who's accusing him. Well, this is L.A. Las Vegas PD just showed up to arrest me for rape, and like he's live tweeting.
Are you
own.
Serious?
Yes.
Oh my God.
They didn't take his phone away from him when they.
Well, maybe at some point, I don't know, but he's.
Wow.
You know, not that it hasn't already, but it's not going to end well for him.
I would say it's a surprise. It's ongoing.
It's gone
still.
This long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should be dead.
What else have we got? Any other news?
Well, just
to talk about
the kicker and the were the two latest, and then the claiming of another tackle. We're at 90. That's about it.
Okay.
And Tom Brady talked to WEI.
We
us.
Didn't really talk about last show the move, and I don't think it's been approved yet to move the draft to mid-May, and move free agency to start before the combine.
The draft thing sounds like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then they're. Kind of going to finalize the other aspects of it, but it sounds like the draft is going to be sometime between like the 7th and the 15th.
First between the yeah. first and second week of May yeah. usually.
Now they're claiming that it's being they're being forced into this because of Radio City Music Hall has a spring.
It's not available
that's
next year.
That's I don't
baloney.
Buy it. I don't
baloney.
Buy it.
There's an Easter.
You've used the same
event.
Building forever. You could have told them I want to keep the building.
Right. Yeah.
I think you wanted to move the draft, so conveniently you allowed them to book the building so you could tell the players that we don't have the building.
Yeah. Well, then the question is, why did they want to move the draft?
Oh, it's they're
to keep themselves
the
newsworthy.
Yeah, they're trying to spread out the calendar and be newsworthy year round and all that crap. Their network, blah blah blah. Mm.
But we're only talking like a week or two here.
Yeah, but they're spreading every. They're kind of.
But they're moving
everything.
Other things too.
Yeah.
But
if you push the.
Are the other things going to move?
I would think so.
The only difference is it's the players have a little more leverage there.
The new league year, the players have a say in. I think that's what Goodell said yesterday. The start of the new league year, the players have to approve. The NFLPA has to approve that.
And same reason why they'd want to open that up is to just extend the. The news cycle, or is it more the tampering?
Well, they're going to legalize the tampering, essentially.
Yeah.
They want to take everything that's already going on and make it legal and
right.
maybe jack up their news coverage and really make the combine like...
And have teams focus on get your veterans first, then worry about the draft. That's...
But there's already people complaining.
I mean, and... you're still going to have scouts and people and personnel studying draft picks, studying draft-eligible players. But the signing period for free agency is going to – the main part of it, the first weekend or so, would happen before the draft.
won't affect the Patriots.
I mean before the
– we don't take part
not
in
before
that
the
part.
Draft, before the combine, so that the focus can be on that. And then once that's over with, then, okay, now let's put
now,
all our focus
now,
on the
combine. In
case
people don't know, teams are not allowed to talk to a player that's signed with another team.
Correct.
And – but for years they've suspected – and. Probably for good reason, that during the combine, because there's so many agents and general managers in the same place, that this is going on anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's not suspicion. It's fact.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's enough people who are ex-GMs and enough people who are ex-agents
that
have said it goes on.
Okay. But, I mean, just for last year, just for one small example, Sean Smith talked to Vontae Davis. They were both the former teammates in Miami. Sean Smith was a free agent. Vontae Davis tweeted out, my boy Sean Smith said he talked to Kansas City or whoever he ended up.
Kansas City,
was it?
Yeah.
So it happens. So we know what happens.
So basically the league's saying if this...
Drop all pretense. Let's just make it happen.
We know what's happening, right. So let's open up the ability for teams to talk and sign players prior to the combine, which means that's when they would start the league year, and so that now they can actually use this combine event as... A recruiting event as well.
Well, yeah.
For free agents.
All the agents are there.
Yeah.
All the teams are there. It's a perfect, it's a winter meeting essentially of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good idea, bad idea. Do you like it?
I like it.
I think from a business standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I like it because I think it gives you a little time.
Though. Yeah. That's the only part. Where
it gives you. I think it gives you a little time to sort of relax after the Super Bowl because now it's the Super Bowl and then it's like a week and a half, 2 weeks and.
Yeah, there's
combines right there.
Right,
Paul goes to the combine like once, and all of a sudden it's too close.
No,
to the end of the season.
I don't mean it from a work perspective because I think you're right. I think it adds work.
It is. It's going to make it busier and yeah. For us if it's the beginning of free agency.
Our perspective, I think it actually is not great. But I think from the league's perspective and from the fan perspective, I think it. Sort of spreads things out a little bit more.
Plus, it's all a process. Now they've always wanted to move the Super Bowl back a week to the President's Day weekend or whatever. Now they have time to do that. So there's
I didn't know they were going to do that.
Well,
they talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah, that's been a long. They want that'll allow Super Bowl Sunday to be a holiday because you have the next day off.
One of the reasons,
really, that was one of the
reasons why Goodell said he wanted to make the 18-game schedule, because then you add calendar.
Yeah. Well, if it coincided with something like that, then I would be okay. I would be more apt to. I don't like pushing everything back further if it's 16 games,
especially if the game's in New York, you know.
Well, now you're getting closer to warm weather at that point.
Well, I guess if you wait long enough, you can have it in the spring.
At some point, it tips the scales. It's now a USFL season.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think the season's long enough in terms of the time. You know, when you go from
plenty long enough,
the first week of September to the first week of February, I don't really think you need to push it to the second, third week of February. Sorry about that. Hit my microphone there. I got a lot of static.
All right. Robert Kraft talked at the owners' meeting, which were in Boston a few days ago.
Yeah, we're going to have a Super Bowl.
You know, and he meant, he'd like to. But
did you hear Felger and Matt talking about that?
You know, he also mentioned about the Pro Bowl. They talked about the Pro Bowl going away. And he said that what did he say? He said he likes the idea of having the Pro Bowl in the same city as the Super Bowl.
Robert said that?
Yes.
And he thought when they had it in Miami, it was great.
It kicks off Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Basically is how he put it.
I'm not a fan of that.
See, I don't have a problem with it if you have the Super Bowl in proper venues. Well, if you want to put the Super Bowl in New York and then you want to say the Pro Bowl was there, they'll be falling all over themselves to get there for that.
He's right, because the players really like Hawaii because it's Hawaii. But, okay, maybe you can sell them on nice weather cities and you'll be there for the whole week. You play the game and then you stay for the Super Bowl parties and make it like – although for them, then it would be like a two-week thing, huh?
Hawaii's –
because they'd be the week before the Pro Bowl and then they'd have the next week to the Super Bowl if they wanted to stay for the whole thing. That'd be interesting.
I still think Hawaii is the be-all, end-all to the season.
I like it, and just from a traditional perspective,
not the game itself, but just going to Hawaii.
The game is going to suck no matter where you play.
No, but I'm saying
play it at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the heart of history, and you're not going to have.
But they are going to change it up, aren't they? Going to do now captains choose, and you can choose from.
Yeah, maybe that doesn't change how they treat the game.
Yeah, I know.
I think the game needs to go away.
The game needs to go away. What they need to do is make Hawaii be the Oscars of the NFL. Make that whole week after the Super Bowl being about, that's when you should announce all of the awards. Coach of the Year, MVP, Pulse Favorite, the Comeback Player of the Year. All those awards should be at an awards ceremony in Hawaii. Invite the players you know are going to be, all pros. Have them, unveil the all pro team. Do the whole offseason awards thing in Hawaii. So it's a culmination, a celebration of the season that was. And you're ending it on, it's vacation time, quote-unquote. It's the end of the year. Let's celebrate. We just had a Super Bowl, all that. Have it in Hawaii every year. And just the hell with the game itself. Nobody cares about the game. I mean, it's not like baseball or hockey or basketball, which in midseason, everyone's in midseason form, and there's actually some sort of competition to it. It's meaningless. It should just be a celebration of the year that was.
Since no one knows what comeback player of the year, maybe they should call it come out player of the year.
Oh, boy.
Best player who came out within that calendar year. In this new age, you say a lot of players are going to come out. You could win an award if you
good
come out.
Good, Andy. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508.
A lot of receivers would be up to that for that, according to
298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
They were talking about that, the start of that league year, too, and how the NFLPA would have to approve it. I forget which one. One of the owners was sort of saying, the coaches, they're going to complain, and they're going to complain no matter what, because anytime you change anything.
Mara.
Was it?
Yeah.
I knew it was an old-time owner, but anytime you change anything, they complain, but they'll adjust. They'll adapt.
Well, and he's right, though. I agree
with
him. Absolutely. I agree with him. They do hem and haw about, we're going to change this. But then if you ask Bill at any press conference, he'll say, we don't make the decisions. We don't make the rules. We just comply by them. What's his phrase? What's the phrase that he uses? We'll comply with the rules as written or something. You know the phrase he always uses.
Yeah, but I know that sometimes he'll say that and he's unhappy with whatever he has to do.
Oh, of course. He says it with that smug look on his face.
But I think what Mara is saying is everybody will be unhappy because we're changing it. And then after, ten minutes,
everybody's
like, okay, well, this is the way we do it now. So it's no big deal.
It's not going to be a big deal.
All right.
They won't continue to be upset about it and have to say every year, this is not the way we want to do it, but will conform.
And also some programming news. For many, many years, a lot of our listeners and readers of PFW have said, hey, why aren't you guys more involved in the preseason games? You know, we'd love to have, you know, more insight from guys who are there at every practice, you know, because by the time the third and fourth quarter comes around, the broadcasters aren't really talking about who's in the game. You know, they're talking about Patriot Place because they don't know.
Drawing things on Patriot
Place. They don't really know a lot. So, you know, we've listened to that over the years and, you know, have thought about it, and we're announcing that this year, Paul and Andy will be part of the preseason game broadcasts. They won't be announcing it, but certain times in the game, the broadcasters will throw it to Andy and Paul in studio, who will give their analysis of what they've just seen. And throughout the game, if there's something really important that they think they can add to, you know, they'll go to them sort of like sideline reporters, but instead they'll be in a studio. So they will be part of the preseason broadcast, the three games that we produce here at the Kraft Group. There's one game, I think, this year that's
national
that we have no say in. But the three games that we produce, Paul and Andy will be part of the broadcast from an analysis standpoint. I think that's – I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah. So we've listened to the fans. And we found a way to get you guys involved, and I think this is going to be cool. And we'll also involve a little bit of social media in it. So it should be really good. Kind of an extension of, you know, the pregame social.
And it's looking, Fred, that they're going to actually let Andy and I have a little toy, too.
Yeah.
One of those touch screens.
Yep. So
It's awesome.
God only knows what kind of damage we can do with that.
So we'll keep reminding people about this as we get closer to the preseason. But really cool. And in addition, the preseason games will be streamed live on Patriots.com. For those Patriots fans who aren't in the broadcasting umbrella, you'll be able to watch the game live on Patriots.com. So there's no reason for any Patriots fans not to be able to watch the preseason games and see Andy and Paul.
Woohoo!
So that'll be cool. I'm excited about that. So there you go.
And if it sucks, don't tell us.
Well, you know, look, we're trying.
I'm sensitive.
There is a chance. I think it's going to be a home run. I really do. But, you know, who knows?
I think there's a chance it's a hitting the gap, and we need to decide, are we going to run this into a double?
I think it might be a broken bat single at best. But
well, no, look,
what are you going to do?
I think you guys are going to get more comfortable as you go along.
Obviously.
And by the third game, you'll be better than the first
game. We'll be swearing at each other on the air.
But, you know, I really do think that this has a lot of potential. It's different.
Can we, trademark it so if anybody else tries to do it, we won't let them?
Why would we want to do that? Does it matter to us?
Yes, matters to me.
If someone else was doing Patriots preseason games, then... yes, but do we care if Dallas does the same thing? No. It's their games are their games. Our fans are our fans. You know, we're happy to share. Good idea.
I'm not.
You know, we invented the website in 95, and other teams have websites.
Oh, you Al Gore?
I was going to say you and Al.
We don't care.
We invented the website.
First full-color newspaper.
Yeah. So that's coming up
first
this
online
preseason.
Video, audio.
First preseason game is what, the 9th? Something like that?
I thought it was the 11th.
The
9th is right.
9th, I believe.
Oh, the
11th.
Friday the
9th.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's when we'll start.
Boo.
So very excited about that.
They're not booing.
Which, by the way, Fred and I talked about after the show on Tuesday, we don't believe that we ever actually specifically mentioned that Teddy Bruschi was named
I think we went
the newest member of the Hall.
On Tuesday.
Oh, we knew it was coming.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Hey, coming in here right now is Chandler Jones. Yeah. All right.
Straight from the practice field, sweaty.
And they still do not have numbers on their uniforms in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, so we don't actually know who's sitting in with us. It's a player, a defensive player.
Chandler, did they give you water? You need water?
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How was practice today?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was
fun. Muggy out there.
It was a little
rainy
out there, but, you know, we practiced to it.
Yeah? So how's your offseason going? Because we've talked a lot on this show about guys like yourself, Dante, Dennard, year two jump. Uh-huh. And Bill has said in the past, that's always the biggest jump that a guy can have in his career, is that rookie year to year two. Does he talk to you about that, or have you thought about it yourself?
I've definitely thought about it. Actually, to start it off, I feel like you can go two different ways in your career with year two. I feel like this is the year that established you as a player, you know, on the field and off the field. You know, usually when a guy goes into their sophomore year, you know, if they have a bad season, that's kind of going to reflect the rest of his career. But then again, if he has a better season, then, you know, that's kind of ramping up. And that's what I'm shooting at right now. You know, actually, I had a great offseason. I put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle, actually. I just weighed in at 270.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
and what were you last year?
Last year I was 260.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So I put on 10 pounds and I'm moving.
See, when he gains weight, it's good. When you gain weight, Fred, it's bad.
We all do it. We all do it. We all put on 10 pounds. It's a big deal.
Hey, I just had my annual physical and I am no fatter than I was last year. Okay.
And you take that as a positive.
I'm still at 215. Now, I need to lose 30 pounds. I admit it, but I'm not putting any on. So
well, that's good.
I'm maintaining.
Did you know that last year was J.J. Watt's second year?
I did know that.
Like, I mean, it's pretty common, and I actually did some, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul went from essentially a year like you where he played, he had five sacks or whatever, to, boom, Pro Bowler, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. J.J. Watt, same thing. Mm-hmm. 4.5, five sacks, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, 20 batted passes, 19 sacks. So you're right. It's not only it can happen, it's pretty common that these guys, if they're going to make that jump, that is the time to make it. Now, are you confident in yourself? And I know you're a confident athlete that you're ready to make that jump.
Well, I feel like a lot of that production and that success comes from, you know, guys being more familiar with the game and, you know, certain looks that they've seen before and just being more familiar with. You know, you go into your rookie year and in your rookie year, you get those pregame jitters and everything. But now I feel like when you go out there as a sophomore, you're more, you know, fluid and you're more comfortable with even communicating with guys next to you.
Right. You have to think less.
Exactly.
A little
less
bit.
Thinking and just more just going. Green light.
Right.
So I'm excited for the tech this year, too.
Well, I'm going
to
expect, you know, 18, 19 sacks. I mean, 20's a lot.
Every Pats fan should accept that.
Specifically, when you talked about, you know, the weight you put on, was there things about your game that you wanted to sort of, I don't know, adjust your workout routine to sort of benefit? Was there something, some kind of correlation? We know you have the connection with your brother. Right. I don't know if you did any kind of off-season work with him. Or
right. My biggest goal wasn't just to put on weight, but putting on weight and being able to move with it.
Good weight, yeah.
Yeah, some guys, they'll put on weight and they'll be like, you know, they're running
slower. Yeah, that's
slower.
Me.
All right. I feel like I haven't really missed a step with the 10 pounds added. But, the weight is good. It's great weight. It's muscle mass. And big shout out to Harold and Moses Cabrera. They did a great job of, you know, pushing me this offseason. And we're still going. We're still lifting. But, I'm excited for the tech year, too.
Was there a point last year, and now that the year's over, you can maybe admit it, that you felt, I am hitting that rookie wall a little bit?
Well, it's funny that you said that because, you know, I talk to my brother almost every day, especially during the season where I feel like we get closer. Well, not the weeks that we're playing against each other, obviously. But he said he feels like he hit the rookie wall every year. Every single year.
So it's just the wall.
Yeah, but I feel like you know, I was in college and I played max of 12 games. My last year that I played 13 because we had a bowl game. But you go into a 20-game season. I don't feel like it's the rookie wall. It's just, you know, it's wear and tear in your body, and that's where the strength and conditioning coaches come in again. You know, they prep you for those type of things. They have a lot of weight training to get your body more durable for a longer season. So, you know, me having a full off season as an NFL player, it's a great help, and I'm excited to tackle this year.
Yeah. Have you kept up with all the comings and going in terms of personnel and, you know, who you're going to be playing with this year? And anyone particular like, oh, you know, I can't wait to play with this guy?
No, not really.
No.
You know, because, you know, football is a business. You know, you never know who you're going to line up against. One week you might have X and O, the next week you have someone else.
Yeah.
So it's really a business. You know, you got to do your job and you know, put the team first.
You talked about wanting to work out with your brother. I think you said you didn't exactly cross paths, but you've been doing some MMA-type work. Right. How important is that aspect of the game? Because a lot of us forget, and I can remember Anthony Pleasant was a big believer in hand fighting, and, you know, he would do these little drills, which really kind of looked like patty cake that he'd be doing without just hand slapping and different things. How much have you focused on that type of thing this offseason in terms of the hand placement, the little games, and those techniques that can, you know, probably be a major factor in a big jump
Definitely.
In success?
That was a big emphasis this offseason, actually. I wanted to train with my brother, But when I was all packed up and ready to go, it was close. It's too close to the fight for him to have, you know, have company. He's kind of self-centered and wanted to be alone.
Yeah.
But I was training out in Providence. I'm not sure the name of the gym, but I was doing a lot of boxing and a lot of, you know, shadow boxing and things of that nature. But it's huge, you know. For me, my position, my biggest thing is target. My hands, my target is the chest or the clavicle of that offensive player across from me. So if I can get my hands in your chest bet faster, you know, which was forks and hand speed, I'll automatically win no matter what happens. So basically just getting my hands faster and doing a lot of boxing, that definitely helped this season.
By the way, how is your brother doing?
He's doing well. Yeah, he got his toe back intact and he got it stitched up and he's in a boot now, but he'll be good. He's in Russia right now. So.
Oh, yeah, I saw him tweeting, claiming he was the only black guy in Moscow.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that too.
Arthur was also dealing with some surgery too, right?
No, Arthur didn't have a surgery.
Oh, okay. I thought he had.
In college, he had surgery.
Oh, okay. All right. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, obviously it's disappointing the way the season ended, but was there any sort of silver lining for you to be able to watch Arthur, you know, go on and have the success? Or was it just so disappointing to lose the...
It was definitely disappointing. You know, we went out there and we lost. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play. But, you know, that's why we're just moving forward, getting ready for this year. But, you know, I was happy for my brother. You know, he's a champion. Well, he was a champion. And my other brother's a champion. So, I mean, that's great success. But other than that, there's no.
So 20 sacks in the Super Bowl title. You'd be all set.
We'll see what happens.
I like how you've turned the count. He was a champion.
No, I know. Right.
He was a champion. We moved on.
That was extremely Bill-like.
This
right
is 2013.
There. You've learned well in 1 year. That's very, very nicely done.
That's the Patriot way.
Now, this week, you know, out there, obviously as a defensive lineman, you just talked about the point of your game is physical, to get the other guy around the chest plate and move him around. But what are the things you're kind of doing in a non-pads environment to lay the foundation?
Just being more familiar with the calls, you know, for you know, a call to be called and for me to know it like the back of my hand without, you know, having to go through it and have to think about it in my head. So if I was to hear a call, boom, I'll be right there, you know, it'll be ready. So not just on the field, but more off the field, you know, film studies and things of that nature.
We joked about you having the year two jump, but as Fred said, you know, Dante is part of that, Tavon, Alfonso. Do you guys have a group dynamic? Because you all played a lot on defense last year, and you're talking about almost 50% of the defense is you guys, your draft class, your group. Do you guys have some sort of, you know, this can be our defense. We need to be impact as a group. We can
be the
reason.
Well, I don't know. You're not from Rutgers, so.
That's
funny.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah. We joke about that all the time.
So do we.
That's funny. But, we definitely, our draft class did very well, you know, and to speak for those guys, Dante, he had a great season, Tavon and Alfonso, and a lot of those guys, even some free agents, Justin Francis, you know, he came in there, and when I was banged up, he came in there and had a few great games.
Yep.
So, we're very close. As a draft class, we're very close. Not saying that we're closer than others, but, you know, if you see on Twitter, we're always hanging out and things of that nature. But, definitely, to take ownership of this defense as young guys, you know, obviously you have the leaders like Gerard Mayo and Devin McCourty and Vince Wolfwart. But, you know, everyone can be a leader in their own shape or form.
Well, one of our emailers just emailed in. He says, you know, he sees that a lot of the rookies hang out and tweet with each other. Do you also hang out with the guys like Mayo and Spikes and Vince and Kevin?
Yeah, when we hang out, I feel like it's more different. You know, with the rookies, we hang out as we probably go out and, you know, go to dinner together. When we hang out with guys like Vince Wilfork and Mayo, it's more at charity events, more things of, you know, more of structural formation.
Plus, they're at different, I mean, a lot of those guys are married and family,
have wives
and you
kids,
guys are still kind of
single,
free and easy.
Yeah.
Now, what was, you were at the fight, right, when your brother won, and from what I read, he would have lost had he not ended the fight, right? Because they would have stopped it.
The doctor wouldn't allow them to finish the fight. So, you know, thank God that they stopped the fight. A lot of people want to call it early stoppage, but I think he was, you know, hitting him pretty few times to the face. But, they stopped it early. I don't think they stopped it early, but people said they stopped it early. But thank God that they stopped it is because if he would have went and proceeded out of the second round, the doctor wouldn't have let him finish the fight.
And he would have lost.
Yeah. He would have lost.
Wow.
He might have lost the toe, too.
Yeah.
The way that thing was looking.
Matter of fact, now that you brought his record up, I think they're trying to veto that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of it because, you know, it was – you know, disqualification from an illegal elbow.
Yeah.
So,
how much are you? How much do you like going to those fights?
You know what? I like them because my brother wins. I never seen him really get beat up.
Right.
But I get more nervous for his fights than my own games. I really do. My hands get sweaty. I feel like I'm going to, you know, vomit. It's bad.
I could definitely see that.
Well, I mean, do you actually think that he could get badly hurt? Is that in your head?
In that sport, anything can happen.
Right.
Anything can happen. I mean, I've seen a YouTube clip where a guy got his shin kicked in, and it was worse than the Kevin Ware incident.
Yeah, it was bad.
So, I mean, in that sport, you know, anything can happen. A guy can throw a wild punch and knock someone out. So
when he first got involved in it, what were you thinking like that? Like, what are you doing? Why do you want to do this job?
My bro has always been like the odd one out of the bunch. He's always he was always the odd one, you know. And you know, I just always say, yo, I have a brother that plays for Syracuse or plays for the Ravens. Oh, then I have another brother that fights. He's not really, you know, he wasn't the champion of the world then. So he came out to be, you know, the light heavyweight champion of the world. Now I'm always bragging, yeah, my brother's John Bones Jones.
Now they're saying he's the best ever, pound for pound, best ever. And
if he gets one more win, I think he breaks a record or ties a record.
Yeah. So what's he doing in Russia?
I have no idea.
Because I was envisioning when Rocky goes to Russia and trains in the mountains stuff. And
I don't think he's doing that with that toe.
You know.
But I don't know what he's doing in Russia. I really
trying to run so fast that the car swerves off the road.
in the snow with the log on his back and everything.
All right, well, Scott writes in, the good news is the new year. The bad news is at 270, they're going to make you a defensive tackle.
No, no.
That's why they're getting rid of all the defensive tackles.
Like I said, I'm 270, but I still move like I was, you know, the same weight I was last year.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that I'm 270. I get to play stronger.
Yeah, because all the tackles are, you know, 320.
Right.
I mean, you probably heard it when you got drafted. Everyone said, wow. Upside's huge, but he's got a frame that he needs to put some more weight on. You probably heard that.
Right, all the time.
Yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. You know, you obviously had the room to do it, and you've done it.
Fred, according to the cue cards in the window, he has a meeting coming up, so you might want to wrap
up.
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want Bill yelling at us because he's late for a meeting.
You should come back because you're one of our favorite guests.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You're active on Twitter.
Dante owes us one, too. So
yeah, Dante owes you guys one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of blew us off last week.
I kind of got off Twitter for a little bit. Now I'm back on the Twitter game.
Yeah, stay on Twitter. It's funny.
Yeah.
All right, Chandler Jones, thanks so much for coming. Big year two jump coming up for Chandler. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more PFW.
I don't know if you have anybody. I don't think you have anybody in there.
Can't take a break. We don't have a producer.
But
all right,
but
Chandler, you can
Chandler,
go.
You can go to your.
How about I do a rap for a break? Chicka, chicka, chicka.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Right. See you, Chandler. Thank you, man.
All right, Chandler's leaving us. Thank you. All right.
See you, man.
We're going to keep going. Oh, there he is. Okay, Kevin. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio. Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriot scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Presented by Raytheon. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is soup. Is it a soup?
Every once in a while it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
Soup for you? It's like sex for your throat.
Is it chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his brother.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. Thank you to Chandler Jones for joining us right off the practice field, all sweaty.
Are you sure it was him?
I handed him a stack of napkins. He didn't
see the 95 on his shorts.
Oh, okay. So we can confirm it was Chandler Jones.
You didn't hand him a stack of napkins. You threw them at several napkins at him.
I was reaching across the table.
And he spent the rest of the interview, he was neatly trying to refold them and put them back in place.
But we're breaking a little news. It was 270. Like, here, bulked up Chandler Jones.
Actually, that's the first thing I thought of.
Breaking news here.
But that's
Bill won't like that.
Aren't you encouraged?
Absolutely. Yeah. We knew he was a little undersized and to, you know, take up to the banging and the rigors of the season.
And I'm sure that's 10 solid pounds.
Oh, yeah.
He also sounds like he was answering questions more confidently than he was as a rookie.
No, but that's just here. That'll change when we go to his locker.
Right.
When we're at his locker, he'll go back
to the
boring. Well, he's the tackle, and his job is to protect the quarterback. Mm. And I'm the pass rusher. My job is to get the quarterback. So we battle.
So, but thank you.
And then he'll say, how was that?
Yes.
What a nice guy.
Oh, tremendous.
What a nice guy.
Just happy to see at least a year in, the nice guy hasn't been beaten out of him by professional
And he liked
life.
Your Rutgers comment.
Yes.
Well, they all seem to like that.
They love that.
Because it's obviously an ongoing.
Oh, yeah. And plus, especially him, Big East rival.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I was going to get into that, but then Syracuse wasn't really any better. So, like.
No.
I was going to say, do you think, you know, this is Rutgers. You know, he played against them every year. Why are you getting all those players? But, you know.
In basketball.
Same thing could be said of Syracuse.
It's like when I asked him something about, were we going to play in a dome or something? I asked him about playing in loud domes, and he said, I don't know. We didn't have many fans at our games.
I didn't play my college games in a loud dome.
Talk about the preseason news. Cole from Waterloo says, I'm thrilled to hear that the Patriots preseason games will be streamed, and I'm excited to hear from Paul and Annie during the broadcast. My wife, however, will probably be incredibly disappointed, as I usually only get to see one preseason game a year. I hope it's a sign of things to come, as I live in Iowa and I can't get the Patriots games on a regular basis. I really hope that someday I can subscribe for a reasonable fee to stream just the Patriots game. I don't want to spend $300 to get all the games from DirecTV when all I want is Patriots games. Fred, can you get working on that? Well, there were news. EA Sports or Microsoft did a deal with the NFL, and it was announced yesterday. I think, and I could be wrong here on the actual facts, but if you buy Madden...
I could be wrong on the facts.
If you buy Madden, I think it's going to cost like $99. You get to the Sunday ticket with that.
Now, I haven't read all the details, and it's still a little hazy with this new Microsoft Xbox One that I believe is a portion of that. My guess is it may also involve having to be an Xbox Live subscriber,
yeah,
which I know for me is like $60 a year,
right,
is like a base subscription. So there may be a little more to it than that.
I'm sure you have to have that.
So you're probably going to have an Xbox One,
right,
which could cost you anywhere from $300, $400.
Right.
An Xbox Live membership, which now is $60, so it'll probably be $100, and then another $100.
Right.
So you now may have invested $1,000 in a $300 service.
Yeah, so maybe it's not as exciting as I thought. All
but right. the bigger part of that is the way they're trying to bring Microsoft technology to the sideline. They are now the official sideline technology provider, so theoretically you'll be seeing Surface tablets and different things for photos, playbooks.
Right.
And I say theoretically because I know a lot of teams have already invested in the iPad Apple route. And they'll still be able to use them, reportedly. They'll just have to cover up any Apple graphics, kind of like cleats. You'll have to spat your iPad.
Nick, who is currently in Victoria, says...
hey, now!
Woo! Thanks for finally listening to all of us.
You
I can't
yet?
Wait to hear you two make the game better. It's rare that when a fan asks for something, you get it. I've never said this in my entire 34 years. I can't wait for preseason games. No pressure. So, cool.
So... What is it, August 10th?
9th.
Fans will be disappointed? Yeah, no, but the next day we'll hear how disappointed they were in us.
I don't think they're going to be disappointed. I think they're going to love it. I mean, don't you think that, you know, you guys never shut up during a game anyway, so now it's just an extension of what you do anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about us and the content. I'm more worried about the implementation of the whole style of broadcast.
Well, that's why I want to have rehearsal. That's why I insisted on actually doing... live rehearsals.
Do it live!
You know?
Yeah,
I'm only worried about the social media stuff. That's it. Because it's kind of hard to prepare for that.
Right.
I feel like the analysis
we
of...
We need to prepare.
The analysis the of what's
going
on in
the game...
When was
the last
time you
got a question you
couldn't answer? No, I'm not talking about that.
So you don't
that.
Have to prepare for anything.
I'm talking about knowing that there's something that is worth throwing out there on the
telecast. We'll have a filter.
But that's the part. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what's going to be out there. Like when we do the pregame social, we just sort of go as we go, and you know,
we'll
yeah, there was that tweet that you read in the break or whatever, you know, something like that.
Yeah, we'll be.
But like Fred said, we're always talking about the game as it's going on anyway, so I don't worry about that part of it. We always have something to say, even if it's wrong.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is we're talking mid sentence and they, you know, cut our mic off, or our mic's still on and we think we're not. You know, that kind of.
Yeah, well, that's a technical glitch, and we can't. Necessarily,
you know, I say something like, "Oh, Belichick, get off your knees!" Oh, that was on. Beep.
They weren't ready. They just weren't ready.
They were fine for internet radio. They weren't ready
they
for
weren't
broadcast
ready for
television.
Prime time.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Brian, who's in Ontario. Hey, Brian.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Good. Not much. Not bathing in the river anymore. Decided to go with showers.
Yeah, so you're clean now. You don't smell anymore.
Plumbing. No. Nice. Yeah, plumbing has made its way to Ontario. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it works in this building and the one next to me, too, so we're okay.
Ooh, two buildings.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I was listening to all the news and stuff like that, and I was just listening to Brady on the on his in his interview, and I love the fact that Amendola is working well with him and all that kind of stuff. And I hope that Gronk and Hernandez and the rest of the boys are healthy and work out. But it does sound like we're going right back to the West factor, where, you know, he's going to be, like, always Brady's. Like, I understand he needs an outlet, and I understand that's what he's here for, but do we want it to be where that's where he's always looking? That's what it sounds like we're going back to.
Why do you say that? Why do you say it sounds like we're going to go back to that?
Well, I mean, everything you hear is about how, you know, before it was how he was in California working out with them. That's great. That's getting a head start. And then when he came to, before the OTAs, it was, everything was about Amendola. And then just recently, it's about how when they were at yesterday or the day before at OTAs, it was how he was praising Amendola and not, you know, not getting along with Jenkins or whatever too well or whatever. But it just seems like if everything works out with Amendola, that'll be great. But, you know, and we don't really expect things to go very well with everybody else. I don't know. The emphasis, again, seems to be.
Well, I think you're seeing those comments as a result of questions that are being asked.
Yeah, I would say one thing is the media is leading the story of the offseason, and the story of the offseason is Amendola filling in for Welker, making that swap. That doesn't necessarily mean the Patriots are saying Amendola's got to catch 118 passes this year. And the other factor is, until you get Hernandez and Gronkowski healthy and the core of the offense on the field, yeah, Amendola might have to be a little bit more of the focal point.
And a couple other things. On Tuesday, Brian, we had Amendola was one of the three players that was made available to the media. You know, so we didn't talk to the other receivers. We talked to Amendola. So clearly people were writing about that. And the second thing is, beyond the tight ends that Andy just mentioned, wide receiver-wise, Amendola's the best. Of the players they have at wide receiver, he's the best player.
By far, though. Like,
yeah, I mean
even Edelman's not out there. Like,
now,
Edelman could
now
be
they have a couple. They have a couple of rookies, so we'll see how they develop. Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce. And by the way, Boyce is still not eligible. Not healthy enough to be out there. So we'll find out how they fit in. And Donald Jones and Lavelle Hawkins and Michael Jenkins was working, by the way, a lot with Amendola and Brady during downtimes, during special teams portions of the practice. But far and away, the best wide receiver they have in terms of talent right now is Amendola. So it makes sense that people are focusing
on
him.
Jenkins wasn't necessarily having problems working with Brady. He was having problems catching the football. He didn't look good doing the job. It wasn't like Brady was screaming at him and he was in the wrong place. And
it wasn't like an Ocho thing.
No, yeah. It was just a catch the ball, please.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem right now with Amendola being the focus. And I'm not saying the media is putting him in the spotlight. He is in the spotlight. What I'm more worried about is in Brady's head. And he just said in that interview we talked about at the end about that the new receivers, you know, even though he's not as implied was, even though he's not as comfortable as he is already with Amendola, is that he hopes to work with them and get more comfortable. I just hope that the focus doesn't somehow get in Brady's head that this is going to be this how the season goes.
Well, liked what Tom Brady's done for about 13 years now? Has he been good? Well, for about 13 years now, the short, quick little receiver has been his favorite receiver. From Troy Brown to Deion Branch to Wes Welker. You had a little bit of a Randy Moss era there, which made the offense historic and different things. But for the most part, his favorite receiver has been the short, quick, reliable little guy on the inside who he went to a lot, hundreds of times.
Do you think that's why this TJ Moe is getting a lot of fan love?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think his name is easy to remember.
He's got a cool name, and you know, I know we don't like to always talk. He's the short little white guy, and everybody roots for the short little white guy, and especially in a place where the short little white guy was awesome. So they're trying to replace the short little white guy with the latest flavor of short little white guy.
And by the way, Brian, he also appears to be dealing with something physical because he didn't do a whole lot in the workout on Tuesday.
Really?
Mo wasn't to the max?
Okay. You know what? I do like the preseason idea. That sounds great.
Sorry, go ahead.
It does. It sounds great. And you know what? Whether it goes great or not, I mean, it's your first shot at it, right? So whatever.
Right,
I expect it to go as well as your regular webcast is going right now, you know?
You don't have to laugh after you say that.
No, I mean, it is. It's good. You guys are good fun, and you know what? Really informative, too. That's why I listen, because it is a lot of fun to listen to you guys, but, I'm 10 times more informative, not just about the Patriots, but about the game of football itself by listening to you guys. So.
And life.
Thanks, Brian.
You've started showering since you listened to us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling, Brian. let's see. Jacob says he's the other Jacob from Denmark. He says, as a Patriots fan, I'm really...
We have two Jacobs in Denmark?
But is Jacob in Denmark like, you know, every other guy is named Jacob? I don't know much
about
Denmark.
No, but the fact that we have two different listeners in Denmark to me is impressive.
Sounds like it.
As a Patriots fan, I'm really annoyed at myself. It's only 3 months ago I discovered PFW in Progress. Brilliant show. You cover everything a Patriots fan needs to know in a non-microphone-holding way, opposite to Mike Reese and company. Okay, I don't know what that means, but I think it's good.
I think it, like I think you're it's saying, water carrying.
Yeah,
sort
I think
of
it's a shot
maybe
at other
it's more
people.
Informal.
I think the microphone is a euphemism for penis.
You would think that. I'm not surprised.
Because Fred,
it's always on. His. Anyway, he goes on. He gives it. Fred is the star of PFW in Progress.
Without
said earlier,
question,
the glue that holds the show together and everyone's favorite boss, Andy,
that's
the
true.
Other star of the show.
That's true.
A prima donna.
That's not true.
With good football knowledge, I shouldn't say it, but he is often right.
That's a great.
Paul man. Is the Patriots man, versatile
that's
all-rounder who, in true Belichick style, can play several roles on the show. And Eric hasn't really figured out his role yet, a sort of Andy sidekick, seems to know football. Okay.
Emphasis on seems.
And to, now to
emphasis
my question.
Emphasis on sidekick.
He has a couple questions. A couple
Eric is staring at me.
No, glaring is more the...
A couple shows ago, you were asked about potential receivers that the Patriots could be interested in trading for. How about Nate Washington from the Titans? There were some trade rumors, not to the Patriots, in April. The Titans are loaded at receiver with Kenny Britt, Kendall Wright, Justin Hunter, Washington, and Kevin Walter. He is an ex-Steeler who knows how to play the receiver position, fits the typical Patriots wide receiver signing.
Physical guy,
kind of big,
right?
Too, right?
Yeah, physical. Could block if we're looking to maybe run the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Good speed on the outside.
What would you give up for him, though?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you
what
thing.
What would you give up for him?
He would become the best receiver on the roster, you know. Outside receiver on the roster.
Good speed on the outside.
Wouldn't take much, though.
Just
well, yeah,
up with
I mean,
random guys.
Kind of goes without saying that pretty much anybody they add will be the best.
And his second question is, could Jamie Collins be drafted to play the three-down lineman, one lineman standing, sub-page front? Belichick uses this front often with very little success. The standing lineman has to read and react before rushing, giving the right tackle time to set his feet in pass protection. And the right end, often Chandler Jones, is often aligned at the inside shoulder of the left tackle, making it difficult to get pressure off the edge. I remember two seasons ago, the team used this front almost exclusively against the Colts in the second half, making Dan Orlovsky look like Peyton Manning. Could Collins, with his evident bust in closing speed, I think he means burst, in closing speed, be drafted to play the Ninkovich
big
role
chest.
In this front?
Yes, he will be used versatilely. He will be standing up. He will be on the line, off the line. He will be used in a variety of ways. The one thing, and somebody chastised me on the blog a little bit about, you know, I said if Brandon Spikes doesn't show up moving forward, then you kind of have a lack of depth at linebacker. If you have to move Mayo to the inside, what do you do on the outs? You know, there's, and the, well, Jamie Collins. I don't see Jamie Collins, the second round pick, as just slide him into the lineup and play Jamie Collins at linebacker. I don't think he's starting caliber. 80% snap ready.
Probably not.
But, I mean, he was a defensive end last year. I know he's versatile. Mm. He was a full-time defensive end last year, and you're going to say he's ready to be a 4-3 outside linebacker? I just don't see that happening. And the B part of that is I thought Mayo had his best year last year at outside linebacker. Now we're moving him back to the inside. Does that cut into his playmate? So are you now worse at two positions kind of because
– I'm not so convinced that they're automatically going to move Mayo inside if that's – You know,
I think Hightower would be the guy I would move inside.
Yeah, well, then he was a terrible draft pick.
Well, I know that you think that way.
Well, I mean, suppose he was drafted as this guy who can play defensive end, rush the passer outside, you know, cover, tight end, slot. And if we just put him at middle linebacker, then great, he's a middle linebacker.
Well,
but I agree with you about
Collins. I'm not so down on that as you are. I agree that, yeah, you're limiting the potential that you thought he had, but you need a good middle linebacker, too. And if he can be that for you for a good career, I think that's worth the draft pick.
How good a middle linebacker
do you
need?
I'm not sure you do anymore. Not with all these spread offenses. I'm not so sure.
Middle linebacker, to me, is trailing in the race behind, well behind fullback.
What did Andy play in high school?
I would say that you know,
yeah,
that
but you're looking at the
run stuffing defensive
linebacker.
Tackle.
If your middle linebacker is also versatile and can cover,
that's why I think that Hightower is a better candidate. I think that he
right.
might be able to, for all the reasons that Andy
he could
said,
transform the middle linebacker position.
I think for all
what
the reasons,
are you talking about? Have you ever heard of Patrick Willis? Ever have you seen the man play?
On this team.
Oh, okay. On this team.
Yeah, the guys that
so
he
Kevin
forgets
Falk
about
is the best line is the best running back in the on the Patriots.
I mean, it's not even something. But it's really not even like a guy retired yesterday after a long career of basically revolutionizing the middle linebacker spot.
Yeah. Sometimes you say stuff that is just so
ridiculous. But your point is, well, I think he was a bad pick if all you're going to do is make him a middle linebacker.
Yeah. See, I disagree
I
with
disagree
Andy on
with
that,
that,
too.
Because if he can be that versatile middle linebacker, then it's a great pick.
But you had said all the things that you thought you were getting when you drafted him. And I think that if he can do all of those things in the middle linebacker spot, that's the way I kind of look at it. Is he could be a versatile middle linebacker, not just a, quote, run stuff or dinosaur that you and I kind of think.
I just think
the position is
if
going.
You can legitimately do those things, they're more valuable on the outside. You're now in the face of Rob Gronkowski, literally. You're not trailing him down the field. You're not in zone coverage. You're not just dropping in. You're doing these things off the edge.
Yeah.
And when you're rushing from the middle, oftentimes when you rush from a middle linebacker position, it's not about beating somebody with speed, athleticism.
It's fooling them.
It's the offensive line. You catch them not knowing where people are coming from.
I agree.
So if I have an athlete who can run big, strong, get the edge, all these pass rush things. I want him on the edge where he needs to use those things, not in the middle where they're not really put to use.
I think the idea is to get your best players out in the field as often as possible. And I think
well, that's obviously the best idea.
And I think that, you know, this Jamie Collins guy can also contribute, and I think you want to get them all out there.
Yeah, I don't know what Jamie Collins can contribute. I have no idea.
That part I agree with.
I have my
I'm
doubts
not ready.
That he's more than a 40% sub player. At this
point. And that's what I think he's going to be as a rookie. Now that's just me projecting.
We haven't seen him play.
I don't have any idea what Bill thinks.
I didn't mark him off on my attendance sheet until he was walking off during interviews yesterday when I got close enough to see it was him.
So there's a lot of things that can happen, but I am not willing to say. Well, if one of the three linebackers is gone, well, I have no problem because I can just plug Jamie Collins in. I have no idea if he's ready for that kind of a role or responsibility on a full-time basis.
I'd actually prefer to leave Hightower and May on the outside and have a guy like Steve Boharness in the middle and Collins the rotational guy.
You know, Dane Fletcher had stepped in.
That's how I look at middle linebacker. You don't need a first-round pick stud middle linebacker in this day and age. You need studs on the edges.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that maybe they put a different kind of player there, thinking that they don't necessarily need that middle linebacker who just sort of does all the traditional things, and maybe he can do more than that.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more that can be done.
What I'm saying is we have three linebackers that we can play and do all these things that
just
you're talking about.
Just put them on the field.
And we just put them out there. And one of them just happens to be in the middle. I get your point. Like, you want to take advantage of Hightower's
if he's as good as he's supposed to be, then I think he should be on the edge.
I get what you're saying.
Now, you may realize he's not as good as he's supposed to be, so now he can be a good middle linebacker with that
versatility. Yeah, I get what you're saying. In your defense, you're very consistent with this because you were extremely critical back in 07 when we started Adalys Thomas inside, when we picked him up. This guy was supposed to be Dante Hightower.
Now, the problem is
he
should have been on
that.
The inside because he wasn't good enough to be on the outside.
And that might be the problem.
Knocking Chad Johnson into a Gatorade table.
And that might be a problem with Hightower, too. We'll see.
Now it's just a problem with those guys don't exist.
And it's funny, I wrote very similar columns about Adalys Thomas in 07 as I did with Hightower last year. I might be 0-2.
And you had the mic in your hand.
I did.
Justin in Alaska right now.
Mike, we can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I turn my mic off when I eat so that you don't hear my chomping.
I love when Paul pushes his mic to the side. It's a big squeak, and then he turns the mic off. Order of operations, like algebra. If you just flip-flop those, it'd be perfect.
It's like people who get to an intersection, put their brake on, and then put their turn signal on.
Yes.
That doesn't help.
Or turn and then put their turn signal on.
That doesn't help.
Thanks, a-hole. I saw you turning.
Justin Alaska says a couple quick items. If you could, you had the ability and talent to play in any position
if,
in the
I'm
NFL,
guessing.
I don't think money, what would you like to play? What position would you like to play in the NFL?
Wide receiver.
You would like to be a wide receiver? Diva?
Now, I'm good
would
enough.
You be a diva?
No.
I'm good enough to do this?
To do anything?
Anything.
Quarterback.
I mean, quarterbacks where the money is.
I'm not a pussy.
Other than quarterbacks, it's like other than Tom Brady.
I would either be running back, tight end, safety, or linebacker.
Yeah, I'd be.
I want to hit. I want to run around and hit people.
I'd either be running back or linebacker. That's my two. Yeah.
I like real football. I don't want to stand back there with a skirt on.
I don't know why you have to be what Andy said to play quarterback. I don't understand that. Why can't you be a tough guy playing quarterback?
Steve Grogan with the neck brace.
I was thinking John Elway.
Gronk is thinking a star, not a jag.
Gronk is done. Not to be bizarro, Fred, but I really think we got our 2 years of magic from Gronk, and either his arm back or access to BB Jones will do him in. I'm convinced that he's done as the Gronk, and now will be the really great tight end for occasional three-game spans between injuries. Do you agree? Andy certainly does.
Not quite. I'm not quite there that every season is going to be like that, but I think long term we're already seeing that it's probably not going to be a 10-year career, you know, Antonio Gates or
right.
There's going to be shortcomings.
He also says, remember why your show is popular. Finally, remember why your show is popular. It's not your football insight. We can get that anywhere. It's not your analysis. We can get that anywhere.
No, you can't.
It's the three guys just sitting at a bar talking Pat's pussy and whether or not Eric has actually touched another man's unit style of show. Don't forget that.
We've actually never discussed that topic.
Nor will you ever, because there's no need to.
No, because Andy's the one that does that. All right. He left again? Oh, there he is. All right, let's take a quick break so I can eat without having to turn my mic off, and I'll be right back.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England.
We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
but
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
But you didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress, Jonas writes in, "Hey, CY, Candy Apple, Scalawag, and Uncle Junior. I wrote last time
I need explanation. What?
Let's see.
CY.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know. Hey, CY. I don't know.
Okay. What's the next
candy
one?
Candy Apple. That would be your head. Scalawag would be Eric. And Uncle Junior is probably me.
What is...
I'm losing my brain.
Is that asshat Scalavino?
Uncle Junior is from The Sopranos.
Oh. So Paul's CY?
I guess so.
You called me Apple Candy? I mean, Candy Apple?
Candy Apple? I don't know. Anyway, he says, I wrote last time about the Seattle Great Moments in PFW bit. This story was cut up, probably by the previous producer, and used as a great moment, probably like a year or so ago. It may or may not have been coincided with the Seattle trip, as Uncle Junior's stories usually come a bit out of nowhere. That's me.
That's true.
Anyway, with all the material you guys provide, perhaps we could hear some new great moment bits, certainly one with Candy Apple, that's you, describing what he'd like to do with George Clooney. That was the best. So Candy Apple is Andy.
I don't get it.
You have a big head on a stick, so you're Candy Apple.
Now I get it. I needed you to explain it, but now I get it. It makes perfect sense.
When did you talk about George Clooney, Andy?
Last show,
last
I think.
Show.
Last show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember. And Fred sang.
It wasn't unsolicited. Someone asked me, if I wanted to shoot, bang, Shag. Marry, or whatever.
Right. All right. I can make that happen.
And you very quickly.
Right. Shot Tom Cruise, you had, bang George Clooney, and marry Matt Damon.
You had it all thought out.
I don't even think it needs thought.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
When it's always on your mind.
Case in point.
No.
There's no need to give it any special thought.
You guys are making this something homosexual. And it is
not.
Oh,
no.
It is simply a read on the type of person they are.
No, I think you're
sexualizing something that is otherwise pure.
I'm sexualizing.
Yeah, pure. Let's shoot somebody.
I'm sexualizing.
Yeah, because he's a
that,
pure DB that I'd like
that
to shoot.
The fact that he wants to bang George Clooney, I'm sexualizing.
Right. No. The game sexualized it. You guys
no
just
further
don't.
Questions.
We have a big announcement to make, Fred.
What's that?
Tuesday morning, we are hoping that finally we will have the Great Paul Perillo Challenge, where the staff of PFW and maybe some others, including No Socks, will take their hacks against Boston University Hall of Fame pitcher Paul Perillo.
Weather permitting and
in
Foxborough.
Weather looks pretty good.
The weather looks good. We've been notified of a field in Foxborough that should be available, and we're thinking of doing it Tuesday morning. So Tuesday's show, we should be talking about how I went yad.
We should film it, don't you think?
It would be fun.
All depends on
I'll let you know afterwards. It's like the Patriots season. I'll let you know how it went afterwards.
No, one way or another, it'll be fun.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
I don't care if you guys want to tape it and put it on this. You know, even if you wanted to put it on the blog or something, I think.
Okay. So you do that. I don't know what you have to do to do that.
Well, I'll just see if No Socks has some.
I just want to state for the record.
Can I wear a GoPro?
During the break, Fred said, well, I need to make sure I get to the cages before then. So. There's going to be one guy who's preparing for this, and not surprisingly, it's Fred.
In full disclosure, I went into his office earlier this morning and said, maybe next Thursday we'll do this. And he checked his calendar to see if he was free. And then he looked at me. I have to have time to go to the cages. Like, all the confidence and the cocky talk was gone.
And then he says to me, like, well, you've been throwing. I throw batting practice to six-year-olds.
Four-year-olds.
I mean, that's what I've been throwing. I coach my 6- and 8-year-old sons in their baseball teams. That's not what I'm going to be trying to do on Tuesday.
I haven't swung a bat in, like, 20 years.
And I haven't thrown a ball in anger in more than that.
In anger?
Yes, as hard as I can.
He's
going
to be angry at you guys. Yeah. Why do you have to be angry? I'm not going to be angry when I take you deep. I'm going to be happy.
Throwing the ball as hard as you can.
You're going to be angry when he throws chin music at you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. Believe me, it won't be on purpose.
It might not be on purpose, but if he gets chin music, he's going to rush the mound.
Well, I do suggest that they have helmets. You need a helmet. Because I won't feel comfortable throwing to you.
I have my football helmet.
I have one of those
That would be funny.
I have one of those CMGI construction hats. I'll wear that.
This is getting better. Collins has bats, by the way. I'll come in with bats.
He's got wood bats. I need metal. I need a little extra boost.
I like a thin handle, though.
I don't care. I like a thin handle. It's unreal how much thought that it has gone into this for him. Andy and I are just like rolling the ball on the field. Let's see what happens.
Just show up. Bro.
I just want to hit a line drive, throw my bat down, and walk off with my arms in the air.
I'll beat Paul in this sport like I beat Andy in three
I think
three
you should have a Fat Albert bat.
What's a Fat Albert bat?
Those wiffle bats that have the regular handle, but then
the
it
big,
gets really
oh,
big.
Oh, the big,
the
like,
end.
Orange
like
ones.
Yeah. They used to call them Fat Albert bats.
I'll bring a cricket bat.
Not mallet?
Mallet, whatever. I'll bring Ryan Mallet.
I'll bring Ryan Mallet.
The real Jacob in Denmark writes in, how silly of me to think that I was the only Jacob from Denmark listening to you guys. I mean, we're only from a country smaller than Foxborough, 10,000 kilometers away.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Smaller than Foxborough?
And no. Jacob is actually not that common here, not nearly as popular as James or Michael in the U.S. Anyway, have you seen enough of Amendola to know if he has clicked with Brady?
Yes.
And P.S., was the Chandler Jones interview good? I tuned in, so I missed it.
It was okay. Wasn't our best.
Download the podcast.
It was good.
Couple of yucks. Definitely worth listening to. Talked about putting on some weight, some good weight, in his off-season work.
Again, the things that we talked about here, obviously they talk about weight, year two jump, Rutgers.
Rutgers.
And Amendola, in the one time we had access, he looked good.
He looked the best of the bunch.
And he and Brady looked fine together.
Now, one practice doesn't a star make, so we'll see how it goes the rest of the spring.
Especially when no one hit him to break him.
Yeah.
Christian from Denmark writes in, written in
big
for
with the Danes
for
in Denmark, and don't we have a girl in Denmark too?
You get me through the week, that and beer. if you were a football team, the roles would be Kerr Steele, the coach Belichick, Perillo, the lefty QB, Hart, the hard-hitting, versatile linebacker fullback, and Eric with a K, the kicker come defensive back. So that would be our roles.
What was kicker? What?
Come.
That's a way of saying also, I guess.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
No, I just didn't really understand what he was saying.
It's the only thing he thinks of, Fred. I'm telling you.
Shut up, you.
You'd be one of those guys that you'd have to. Can you tell the story about when you were in kindergarten and you were asked to put your left hand on your right ear?
It was my right hand and my left ear.
Okay, whatever.
And what happened? Testing to go into kindergarten or sort of like to see where you were or something.
Yeah.
And I reached over across the top of my head and touched my leg. And my mother said they scribbled stuff down like in their notes as I did it.
Like instead of just like reaching
instead
over
of just
and
doing instead it, of just like going underneath your chin and just touching it. So, you know, I was already unique at that
age. Can you
age.
Imagine what like psychologists would be with Andy? It's like, you know, What did you say? You know, kicker come. What? What? What is?
Did you have like, inner monologue when you were
when
that
you were
age?
Like four.
Did you speak your inner monologue when you were that age?
I definitely by middle school, I did.
Yeah. And your inner monologue doesn't talk you out of much, does he?
No. But like I can remember,
you get over overruled a lot.
I may have told this before, but I can remember like when I realized I was like an open wise ass was in sixth grade, I think. We were in some science class and this hot girl in like a spandex skirt spilled something. And she's like, oh, I spilled something all over my skirt. And I was across the room and I go, I'll come wipe it off. And that was like the realization. Wow, you're a wise ass. That was like, you're a wise ass.
And wow. I bet you he said but you out know, loud, boy, I'm a wise ass.
You know what's funny though? If he did that today, he'd probably get suspended.
Probably.
If he said something like
in
that
school?
Today,
oh. If he were, yeah, he'd
probably get suspended.
We made a teacher cry and leave the class, Mrs. Catalano, because she had
I have a lot of relatives.
She had two wet spots.
Fred is gesturing near his chest.
And so many of the guys were just, you know, chuckling. She ended up crying and running out of the class.
Now, why was she wet?
To this day, I don't know if it was sweat
or she had a baby?
She wasn't pregnant. She was a young MILF. Not
what,
MILF.
She
but,
hot?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was the.
Did you?
She was the desire of every.
Did you?
I think fifth, sixth grade boy.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
What? That's happened.
Yeah, that's a
fifth
little,
or sixth grade.
That's pretty rare.
Some of those scandals have been pretty young.
That's pretty.
Oh,
rare.
Not that young. Quick related news. I don't know if you saw Forbes came out with their coaches' salary list yesterday, and Belichick now number two.
Yes.
How do they tied. Know? They don't know.
Tied for two.
Tied for two.
They
with,
must have friends at the IRS.
Well, that's how I see.
No. With Andy Reid,
it's
right?
Forbes.
Oh yeah, because the IRS is on the up and up. They could never have a source in the
Seriously.
IRS. Are you being serious right now?
I don't think that they know.
How?
I'm
don't.
Pretty sure that they do.
We don't know.
Wait a minute.
No.
News places.
How could they know? We don't know.
We don't see his W-2. But you believe like there's sources in the Army, right? And in government and in the White House. Why couldn't there be a source from Forbes, a money magazine, mm-hmm. in the IRS?
I don't think it'd be worth a source divulging that type of info with the same repercussions that they would for something that's really
no,
important.
No, but listen, Fred, don't you think there's a million different possibilities? Like his agent, someone close to him.
Yeah, I just don't
someone
think
that
they
worked
know.
For the organization.
I think they're going on reports that have that we've all read.
I doubt
we
it.
Don't know our truth.
Yeah, but all the
Forbes magazine probably isn't going to go on someone else's report. They're going to do their own report.
Plus, I would argue that all the reports that you see about pertaining to Bill Belichick's salary are based on the report that Forbes magazine
yes.
had originally.
Yes.
That's. I mean, I'm not trying to put Forbes magazine in this, you know, exalted place of
no, but
bastion
they have,
of
that's
integrity.
What they do. They but report I, on money and fiscal issues.
I don't think that. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Sources in the IRS
and it's
and
a
elsewhere.
Lot like NFL. They just said he makes $7.5 million a year. They didn't say he makes $7.5274 million, gives $1.2 million to check. Like, there's
right.
no detail. It's just a surface. He makes $7.5 million a year. Boom.
And they list Sean Payton now at $8 million, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Andy Reid,
amazing,
is right next to him
you
at
were
7.5.
Suspended for a year,
yes.
Put a black mark on our franchise, our league, and our game.
And not exactly
and
like you
got $8 million.
And it's,
oh, by
yeah.
the way, you have an addiction to what is he addicted to? Painkillers
yeah.
or something?
Vike? Was it the Vike?
Vicodin and Miller Lite. So I'm just going to give you $8 million.
And it's not like
wait,
he
pain
was
painkillers for the knee injury or whatever it was that he on the sideline.
I don't know exactly when he started taking them. But it was a whole
scandal.
It was before
right?
that. Yeah. And then, I mean,
it's not,
and
like
it's
he
not
was
even
scot free in that scandal. Either.
But it's also
I mean,
not even like he plays in New York or a major market team. It's a team that, for a while, the owner wanted out of New Orleans. Then they have a hurricane, suddenly wants to stay in New Orleans, and they have enough money to pay $8 million a year for a head coach. Very strange.
It's true. I agree.
Sean writes in webradio at patriots.com. Guys, in 2007, we brought in Randy and Wes, and look what our offense did. I really feel like with Amendola and all these new guys coming in, it forces Brady to refocus his game and step up to all the changes at hand, something that has shades of 2007.
I'm not saying it'll be
an offensive explosion, but it's a new game of chess for Brady with new pieces, and I think he will thrive with that.
It's a lot closer to 06.
I was going
to
say, it's a better chance that it's more like 06 than 07.
But that's, I mean, depending on how you look at it, you could definitely make an argument for that. Both sides.
And Brady wasn't happy throughout 06.
Yeah, but it's almost
irrelevant. That's what I'm saying.
He was unhappy in 06. They lost the AFC title game. Mm. He was happy in 07. They lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah. They got one game better.
What is the moral of this story? When we talk about these things and how much of a concern they are, big picture, I don't think it really moves the needle all that much. But
he was also 6 years younger.
I agree with you guys. 2006, in terms of the talent of the receivers, it's probably a closer comparison.
Now, Amendola's better, but Doug Gabriel.
And he also has the two tight ends that they didn't have then.
Does he?
Yeah, because I've heard from a reliable source that he's fine.
Who's he?
Gronkowski.
Oh. Fine. Is Hernandez fine?
That being
he's fine.
Fred? Is that the reliable source?
No, because he said reliable source.
No, Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
Oh, well, then you mislabeled him.
Fred's the only one reporting that he's fine.
Not even Breda. Yeah, I'm looking forward for Gronk.
RJ,
okay, we'll go with that.
RJ wants to talk about spikes. He says, I'm sort of joking about this, but I'm really not. I remember a tweet once where he was responding to a fan who made fun of him for being a bit soft-looking. His response was, I don't care about having no beach body. My football workouts are push-ups only, or something to that effect. The whole thing could be a holdout, but it could also be Brandon Spikes not wanting to work too hard on that beach body.
Yeah, I don't know. I did post on the blog yesterday, I thought, interesting comments out of Chicago, where Gabe Karimi, the bust of a former first-round pick, is skipping OTAs at a very critical point in his career, and he's actually working with LeCharles Bentley, the former offensive lineman in the NFL. And Bentley was quoted as saying, basically, Karimi's betting on himself. If you're going to a key point in your career, he could be a bust, or he can come back and be good, or what? It's all on him. And sometimes you need to do that as an athlete. It's your career, and you need to basically bet on yourself. And I was saying, maybe that's what he's doing. I think it's a bad decision, but maybe that's what he's thinking. I'm going to bet on myself. Because he had a good year last year. You come back with another good year. Okay, now you might be where you... Another aspect of this that I totally missed the first time. Mike Reese wrote that hasn't been seen much at Gillette Stadium since off-season program started in mid-April. In a year that he... referring to Spikes, hopes ends with a big payday. Not seems or could. Mike Reese wrote in a year he, and the Spikes is previous in the sentence, so the pronoun is referring to Spikes.
Yeah.
Hopes ends in a big, like, so he knows he's looking for a big payday.
Well, yeah. It's his end of his contract.
There's a lot of contracts that end, and the player knows they're not getting a big payday.
Well,
I find it interesting that a guy who, to me, has struggled to be a proven starter, even though he started 14 games or something like that. You know, his first 3 years have been anything but the precursor to a big payday, in my opinion. He's been flashy, inconsistent, at
right.
times impact.
And oft injured.
But to know that he expects or hopes this year to end, to me that's kind of newsworthy.
Really?
I find that newsworthy. Because I don't think of Brandon Spikes as a guy who's going to hit the free. I mean, Wes Welker got $10 million.
But
Brandon Spikes think he is going to get a big payday.
I don't think it's a big leap for Mike Reese to, you know, think that Brandon Spikes hopes that this year ends in a big payday.
Yeah, he didn't write it like the way he wrote it is he knows that Spikes is looking for a big payday.
Well,
that's how he wrote it.
I'm not as surprised by that as you are then, because I would think that Brandon Spikes would absolutely expect that at the end of this year he's going to get paid.
Whew. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, if he has a great year, it's not.
No, it's
okay. If he has a great year,
yeah. but you can
there's
make
a chance.
Well, but right. that's part of what he's hoping.
I'm
at my contract year. I want to be put myself in the best position to get paid.
Now, if
I'm
Mike
hoping
had,
at the end of this year,
Mike
I'm going to get paid.
If Mike had substituted the word hope with expects, then I'm right with you. Then where does he get off?
I probably look to make sure it was hopes. But I just found it strange that he clearly has been told by somebody that Spikes is looking for big money. He's looking for this time next year to have a big money contract in hand.
Now we can get into something. You know, sort of trying to do the Fred Kirsch thing where we're reading between the lines. Probably you're right. It would seem that he has been told by somebody that he's looking to get paid. And maybe that's why we're sort of making a big deal out of the fact that he hasn't been in Foxborough. Because the somebody who told him he's looking to get paid is probably inside the organization somewhere, and they're getting it out there that this guy's looking to get paid at the end of the year. He's not even here. Sort of trying to put the spotlight on him. Again, reading between the lines, we don't know. We don't know exactly how that all unfolded, but I could see that being something where that's sort of rubbing the brass the wrong way here in Foxborough. Do you think?
Why is Kevin Walsh from Comcast doing a stand-up in front of the Rangers press conference backdrop?
Instead of the Bruins?
Bruins are
playing. Maybe he's covering
the Rangers.
I know, but like...
He's in New York.
He was in New
York. It's a funny place.
The series is in New York.
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't know. Do guys stand up in front of our backdrop when they do stand ups?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
They don't. The answer is no.
Oh, okay.
No, they do.
No.
What?
That's why we have to leave it on. Like Tom Kern and all them. They do.
They stand in front of our backdrop?
Yeah, upstairs.
Oh, I stand corrected. I stand correct.
And I don't find it weird at all.
No.
If anything, you want something that shows
that you're
where the game is. I'm in New York.
And I believe he is covering the Rangers.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Behind enemy lines.
New York, whereas that stiff Haggerty is covering the Bruins.
But especially ours where it's ours is sponsored too, so
right.
It gets those people more love.
Well, we don't tell them they have to, right?
No.
No, they don't have to. No.
Tell who they have to.
Like Tom Kern.
Well, that would be
you have
Stacey.
To do your stand up in front of our backdrop.
I don't think we could.
That's kind of illegal.
No, because they do a lot of
even less credibility.
Because they do a lot of stand-ups.
I don't think we'll get arrested if we do.
No,
but
I mean,
like,
no, but you
have
can
no
do stand
over him.
You're
probably
going to
get punched by Curran,
stuff, right? Right. At least headbutted.
Right.
Let's see. You know, we had the
we need cameras.
We had the tragedy in Oklahoma recently with the unbelievable tornadoes.
Hometown of one of my college teammates, Freddie, by the way. But he's okay. His family is...
it's amazing that everybody's... I mean, I know 24 deaths, but when you look at what happened,
amazing
that it's not hundreds upon thousands.
Well, one of our listeners is from there. He says, I follow you all on Twitter. While I've moved a few miles away from Moore, Oklahoma, my family is all still there. Monday, as you know, we were hit by a deadly tornado. My youngest daughter, Madison... started her first day at a new daycare located directly in the path of the storm. I actually only beat the tornado hitting the building by about 4 minutes.
Oh, man.
I drove to my sister's, and we rode the storm out in their shelter. When we exited the shelter, I couldn't believe my eyes. Nothing looked the same. All landmarks were gone. After 3.5 or 4 hours of helping search for survivors, the authorities blocked it off and sent us in a safe direction. While my family are all fine and safe, it's hard to feel okay. I want you to know I'm a loyal listener to your podcast, and believe it or not, I was so ready for today's show to get a good feeling of normalcy and just feel okay, even if it's only for 2 hours. Thank you for the awesome job you do. Keep up the good work, and know while having a blast, you're offering peace of mind to at least one listener in the storm paths in Oklahoma.
Wow.
So,
jeez. Oh,
it is good to know, but that's incredible.
We're just glad we could help out.
Paul's not saying that about
no. We're saying OGs because
somebody just walked in the studio.
No, I had actually read
Speaking
that.
Speaking of things that blow,
I had actually read that email, and I'm very glad that he took the time to write in. And that's it's good. I'm glad that everything is okay. But Andy actually pointed that email out to me. Was it yesterday? I think right. That was a pre-mail.
That was a pre-mail.
I will give you my microphone here, Brian, because I have no interest in talking to you.
Brian Morey, executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, just walked into the studio. What do you want?
Computers all across the world just clicked off.
I just thought, you know, everybody should know about the great things we have going on at the Hall coming up. Why is that funny?
You just walk into the studio?
Well,
we're doing a show here.
I talked to Andy and Paul before. I waited till near the end of the show.
No one informed me.
Well, that's because...
All right, what do you got?
It's on a need-to-know basis.
Oh.
What?
Now, Andy and Paul don't share a lot of things with you, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, they keep secrets from you.
All right.
No, this weekend...
It's no secret we don't like you here.
That's okay. This weekend, Fred, free admission... to the Hall at Patriot Place for all veterans, active military, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, with appropriate identification.
So first responders.
First responders, yes, okay.
And military.
And veterans.
And veterans.
So free admission with their ID that indicates they hold one of those positions. Also, a couple of things coming up. June 9th, Field Day with Dad. So to celebrate Father's Day a week early, we are having an event where you can come down and get on the field here at Gillette Stadium and use the Patriots Experience inflatables, take some photos, throw the football around, have some fun on the Gillette Stadium game field.
You get to go on the field? That's
yes.
Great. And
what's
no
the
charge?
Cost on that?
It's $20.
Oh.
Well, this includes your hall admission.
No charge, and you go $20.
Of course it's charge.
We're in business here.
this is a unique opportunity. We do not allow generally speaking, here at Gillette Stadium, we do not allow access to the field. So it includes hall admission. It's $20 for adults and $10 for children. And that includes your hall admission. It'll run June 9th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m.
Is there a way to, like, get an advance ticket?
Yes, you have to go to the hall at patriotplace.com, and you can buy tickets through our website.
And by Raytheon.
And is it for, like, do you have to line up ahead of time? So tips.
Everyone's going to need to sign a waiver, Fred. So we will email a waiver to everybody who buys the tickets ahead of time. It'll be limited to 1,000 tickets. So don't wait. I think this is going to sell quickly.
Will you be there?
I will.
Oh, damn it.
How about you? You going to come?
What day is this?
This is Sunday, June 9th.
I'm busy.
You and Jackson.
That's the week before Father's Day?
You go on the field all the time with Jackson. You're a big wig around here.
That's true.
Yes, it is the Sunday before Father's Day.
Any announcements regarding Teddy Bruschi or anything like that?
Teddy Bruschi, well, I'm sure you guys have probably talked about that his induction ceremony will be August 11th.
August 11th.
August 11th.
So this is a little different than in the past.
Yes, well, we've done it both ways. We've done it during the preseason. We've done it during the regular season. The schedule this year dictated that we have the induction ceremony in August, but Teddy will be honored at the first home game against the New York Jets on Thursday night. He'll be honored at halftime of that game. But his induction into the hall will be August 11th. I don't have the exact time yet. We haven't planned the day's events.
He'll be on the plaza.
Like, yeah, in the plaza, free to the public. There'll be a VIP event that people will be able to purchase tickets for.
As well as Gil Santos, correct?
Gil Santos as well. That's
now, will he be emceeing or will the new guy be emceeing, Bob Soucy?
I don't think you should emcee your own party, huh?
No, you can't emcee. I assume it'll be John Rook, maybe.
Or John.
Or Bob, yeah. I mean, John Rook usually...
Bob, John.
John Rook usually
John
does the pre-event,
Soucy, can you say?
Get the crowd riled up. But it will be a big day, obviously. Teddy Bruschi being arguably the most popular Patriot outside of number 12, maybe, in team history. So it'll be a great day to be out here and see Teddy go in, and hopefully he'll do a speaker series coming up leading into that, as all of our inductees have done.
Oh, you got
over
another
the past
one of those coming
years.
Too, right, don't you?
Yes, Nate Solder. Next Wednesday, Nate Solder, 6 o'clock at the hall. Tickets for that are $5.
He's like a stand-up comedian. The guy's a barrel of laughs. I'm hoping he opens up a little bit more for the crowd than he does in front of his locker.
You know, I'll tell you the great thing about our speaker series is that I think that the players get very comfortable just talking to the fans. There's generally no media there. Sometimes Karen Garrigan from the Boston Herald comes. But they get very comfortable just kind of shooting the breeze, and it's a great event for fans because the player doesn't usually get the opportunity to speak to a small group of fans in a pretty intimate setting, 150 people max, and then the fans don't get that opportunity generally to have a conversation.
So can we make player availability during the season at the Hall at Patriot Place and then show up in Patriot's
jerseys?
Just put
the whole media in and they'll think that it's, oh, he's talking to fans here.
no trickery.
All right,
That'll ruin it.
Well, thanks, Brian. Lots of good stuff happening at the Hall at Patriot Place.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Brian Morey.
That's cool.
We got to get Brian on here more often to talk with Paul.
Whoa.
Because those were some...
I'd slap Paul around.
While we have Brian here, should we, extend the baseball challenge?
Doesn't he have a hall to run?
I'm assuming he can hit you.
He played over 40 baseball until last year.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know why you think that I'm
18 plus.
What?
What?
Over 40 baseball.
No, I'm assuming Brian's going to take it.
I don't care if anybody hits the ball.
The idea is I haven't played since Babe Ruth baseball.
Yeah, I know, and you're very upset about it because you're going to the cages.
And we're going to take you.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, like that.
You know. Wait a minute, they're going to work out.
No, just Fred.
He is. He's been talking.
Ian and I are rolling the balls on the field and let the chips fall
Fred's
where they
may.
Fred's
been talking crap for like 2 years. Today I said, let's do it next week. And I don't know if I have time to go to he got all nervous and he's got to go to the cages.
I haven't swung a bat in 20 years. I don't want to hurt myself.
Neither is he.
What do you mean? You used to swing a bat.
And you beat him in three sports.
All the time, Walpole Park.
Oh, the wiffle bat. Yeah.
That's a bat. It's got the word bat in it.
You cannot hit Paul. Wait, what was the last time you threw?
1993. Ish.
Brian's reconsidering.
To anyone over the age of 6.
Can you throw strikes?
How does he know?
We'll see.
How's your wing?
I don't know. I've been throwing a lot of BP to 6-year-olds lately.
Oh, I know you can, Brian. I would expect you to be.
You played baseball competitively a year ago. You should be able to hit him.
My plan is to throw like just curveball after curveball.
Oh, coming from a lefty, I am going to take that so long. Oh, my
that's
God.
Not if you don't go to the cages first.
You'll throw it right by him. He's not going to be able to hit it.
I can't throw it by any. I couldn't throw a ball by anybody when I was in my prime. At least you had a prime, Mick.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, go away.
All right. Web Radio.
Everybody go to the hall.
Why don't you come to watch?
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Payson Field, I think.
Alex from Philly writes in, I'm worried. Amendola's made of glass. Edelman's made of glass. Hernandez is hurt and probably made of glass. Gronk is literally coming apart at the seams. Brady is on the decline in playoff games, as Paul pointed out. No pass rush unless Jones makes a big leap and Abraham signs. I mean, officially, Fred, not the wink-wink deal. Who is playing safety? Is Tlaib the answer? And no big play threat unless rookie wide receivers get it, which hasn't happened in recent years. I don't remember the last time the Patriots went into the season with so many question marks. Yet Fred still insists that it's all fine because we don't know. So ignorance is bliss. As important as Gronk is to this team's offensive success, him needing to get his plate removed again does not make me feel confident. Gronk potentially needing back surgery on his discs makes me feel less confident. Arm issues concern me. Back issues scare me. If Gronk can't at least be his best, can't be at his best, this offense is doomed. Brady can only cover up so many holes in this team. Asking him to be just as productive as he's been with a mixture of rookies, Jags, and players made of glass is asking an awful lot of a guy at the end of his career. Brady can't carry this team forever, and the end is closer than Fred is willing to admit. Question, does Freeney signing raise the price of Abraham?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, on one level, he got good money.
I could see it both sides.
I don't know specifically how many teams are left in the game.
Besides, Abraham already signed, didn't he?
Yeah. Because, I mean, Tennessee, New England are the teams that he's visited that
reportedly
haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
Atlanta, there was talk of him going back there. They signed Umanyora. Denver signed
Sean Phillips.
San Diego signed Freeney. I don't know.
At some point, is there no one left
for
you?
How many chairs are there? If there's only one chair left, then the value goes down.
Yeah.
If there's two chairs, but one of those chairs is cracked like the Titans, then it still goes down. But if there's three or four chairs.
In retrospect, you look at what Freeney did. And he went out and visited San Diego, and I think the next day on Sirius Radio, his father was talking about his desire to have Freeney play for the Patriots.
Right.
Well, clearly that was orchestrated.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, the next day or two later, he signs a pretty lucrative deal. Again, we don't know the structure of that deal, but seemed on the surface to be a pretty lucrative deal for a guy at that stage of not only the offseason, but his career. Pretty late in the offseason to sign that much of a free agent contract. But you got to think that was all put together as a part of a plan. Like Andy said, make it look like there's a couple of teams out there vying for your services.
Now, where are you on this, Fred, in terms of Abraham?
Well, like I said, once I learned that he was visiting other teams after he had done the deal with us, then I started to lose confidence.
After he had done the deal. But do you still think he's going to be here?
I think there's still a chance, but it's less than I thought. I thought it was a done deal.
Is it less than 50% that he's here?
About 50%. He's got to play somewhere. He doesn't want to quit.
Yeah, I don't eliminate the Patriots. I still think they're going to get him, actually.
But you know what also changes it? Guy's been dropping like flies the last few days. What happens when, you know, J.J. Watt tears an ACL in an OTA?
Does that all of a sudden
Houston signs him?
Does that worry some? I mean, just the way these things have been going. I mean, you have Melvin Ingram tore an ACL. Now Michael Crabtree tears an Achilles.
Hank Hinoski,
yeah, really seemed like a sprained medial collateral, but like a chipped,
not good.
Yeah, I worry about
non-contact
stuff like
OTAs. What the hell's going on around here?
Yeah,
it's modern training.
It's funny, I wonder, 10 years after.
I wonder if a guy got hurt here, would we just say a guy in a blue jersey was carted
off? Well, wonder, after 10 years after they've done this new CBA, which is, a lot of it was supposed to be about safety and all these new rules, if they do the study and just as many guys get hurt in the offseason as they did before the CBA. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. More of the injuries are happening in the offseason, the OTAs, than they used to. Well, who knows? Right.
They were less prepared. Did they?
Right.
Now, I don't think right now there's been more injuries in the
Every year there's more injuries.
Yeah, last year we lost.
That's not possible.
Who did we lose last year?
I don't know.
Someone tore an ACL.
Brad Herman.
Might have been him. Might have been
in OTAs.
Him. Yeah,
yeah. I think it was Herman.
And I know that people would say, "Well, just an undrafted." It's
still a guy.
It's a player right. at non-contact drills.
And when they put all those lists together of injuries, they don't say how many Pro Bowlers got hurt. They just put together how many people right. had. Did you see that our thing is going into effect that we suggested a long time ago about a centralized injury reporting system for the National Football League?
I did see that.
Going into effect, a certain number of teams are doing it this year, and all teams are expected to take part by 2014. And, you know, there's some backlash from players and agents, but what are you laughing at?
Because I was just thinking, a few teams are participating this year. 31 teams will be doing it by 2014.
But, you know.
Then after we lose a draft pick, we'll be doing it by 2015.
There's talk of players and coaches not, I mean, agents not liking it. I would advise my clients not to take part, go see their own special, blah, 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 blah. But remember, we have talked about a centralized system that people can pull from and everybody knows everything, and seems like they're moving in that direction more and more.
Hmm. Chris with the TIAN writes in about the preseason games. So does Paul get paid extra for having to babysit Fathead during the preseason? If not, he should, since he'll have his work cut out for him. Watch your P's and Q's, Fathead. Your mother will be watching.
I actually said that at the meeting yesterday.
And you'll be right next to her? Well, that's what he says. I learned it from...
He didn't say that.
Yeah, but I learned it from Christian. I thought that was okay. That's not okay.
It's not okay.
Oh, he also says your mother and I will be watching.
Oh, there you
go. He'll be with her.
Yeah.
But Andy actually brought that up yesterday, saying he had to be sort of under a different set of standards.
Well,
because
my
his
normal
mother might be watching.
A, there's my normal TV standards, which is why everybody says, how come when I see you on Comcast, you're always boring and tame? Because it's different. It's television. It's not internet radio. And secondly, my mother could be watching. Well, will be watching, I'm sure.
Right.
So I can't say.
As will the FCC. This is now on broadcast.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that. I mean, I can say a lot of things.
Please be worried about that.
Yeah, you know, Fred, I'm gonna back you up on this. Please,
no,
you know,
but
I'm
not worried about that. I'm just worried there's an area between FCC and what's appropriate.
And you don't know it. All right, you have no idea what it is. Clearly,
and you don't know it.
Now, what happens? Is it any FCC violation if Paul says like Dick Curl, and I go? And just giggle. Is
no,
that an FCC violation?
No, that's just a violation.
That's a human violation.
That would just be embarrassing to yourself.
Yeah.
Dick hurts. Well, then why don't you fix it?
Oh, boy.
That might be.
Well, that's what
that
I don't know.
That might get you in trouble.
No. His name's Dick Hurts. But yes, you referenced it in an organ manner.
Mm-hmm.
James writes in, how about the Pro Bowl idea? How about the two worst teams play each other for the number one pick instead of the Pro Bowl? And then you add that to Eric's Oscar red carpet deal.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah, that would only...
Let's watch the two worst teams in football play. That's a way to cap our season.
More often.
Although the NBA lottery really not working, huh?
Why?
What happened? The 17th straight year that the worst team hasn't had the number one pick or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a lottery. That's what you're
looking for.
But it's
heavily weighted. You're not looking for that. You're looking for sometimes the worst team gets the number one pick.
Yeah, I don't understand the idea behind a lottery.
The worst team is certainly hoping that.
And it's heavily weighted towards the worst team gets the number one pick. But hasn't happened.
Stefan writes in.
Marbury?
From London. Big fan of the show.
Did you see the thing in London?
Oh,
the guy hacked up
incredible.
The shoulder,
incredible.
And then like on tape, I had to do it. I'm sorry for women, but you're well.
They've arrested two more people in connection with that crime, that heinous
crazy.
Crime.
Crazy.
Another
question.
Not so great in Europe, Eric.
I didn't say it was.
I've never seen somebody
said
hatcheted
it was.
To death in front of me on American Street. Fred just looks at me.
What would you say was your favorite play by New England last year, excluding the butt fumble? Mine was. Has to be Ninkovich's strip sack against the Jets or Tom Brady to Brandon Lloyd on a bootleg against the Texans. What was your favorite Patriot play last year?
The kick return that went right in the air catch.
Edelman?
Score. Yeah.
Edelman?
That was my favorite.
You like that one? Yeah.
Thanksgiving provided a lot of those.
I thought the first game of the week, the year.
The strip sack with the rookies.
Sack,
and
the two rookies. And
you know what, Fred? That was a very good play. Yeah. I didn't even think of that one.
Nah,
I was thinking of all the other things that have been mentioned. That was an underrated play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it happens so...
I mean, we were like, oh, my God, here they are already making a big impact.
Yeah.
And
wah,
that was...
Wah.
How about Will Fork's hit on Donald Jones?
That was a
pretty
good one.
Play.
Good.
Yep. Obviously, the picture of the year was the Brandon Lloyd
yeah, no
photo
doubt.
Going into the
picture
end zone
of the century.
That same game.
Completely irrelevant to me.
I think the picture itself, not the player of the year.
I think the
best, look at it objectively.
I think the best individual game.
I hate him more than anybody, and I can look at it objectively. It's a great freaking picture.
You're a better man than I.
Not a bigger
That's
man.
Not true.
I said better.
I think the best individual performance by a player in a game was Edelman, that Jets game.
It just became a movie category.
Right?
That's the best individual performance. Yeah. Yes. Incredelman.
What?
Oh. The Jets, Edelman's performance in the Jets game.
Yeah. He also got hurt in that game, too, didn't he?
Probably.
Didn't he leave that game?
The Ravens
Wasn't that the
game?
Steve Gregory? Right,
but he came
too.
Back,
he was
and then he got
it.
Hurt
yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he? He scooped the butt fumble, and then he had a pick, I believe.
Yeah.
He had a big interception early in that game.
He had a big game there.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Jets providing plenty of big plays for the Patriots.
Well, that was the key game of the season. That was the highlight of the season, I think, for the Patriots. That game was.
Well, the imagery and the way that unfolded.
Oh, yeah. That...
I mean, in terms of, like, bizarre plays, yeah. I mean, to me, the highlight of the season was the evisceration of Houston on the Monday night.
That was good. But that not only was it a big game against a rival on Thanksgiving, but it completely destroyed the Jets for the rest of the season. That was it. They were done after that. You
they
destroyed
were done
a
that.
Team
they
on
were
national
done before
television.
They were done in week two when Darrell Revis tore his ACL. Their season was over.
You destroyed the team on national television. You completely emasculated them. It was great fun to watch.
You done?
I like when he does that to the Jets. It makes me chuckle every time.
Okay. So that was a good question, Stefan. Let's see. A lot of long emails.
That's Fred telling you to send short ones if you want them
Fred's
read.
Just going
to
ignore them all.
Vishon from New York. I recently flew from and to Nevada last week for two graduations, and I had your podcast on the entire time. You guys made the flight go by very fast, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I've been meaning to ask you guys the question I'm about to ask for a while, but never got around to it. I started watching football around 2005, so I never got to see Joe Montana play. In your opinion, between Brady and Montana, which of them were the better quarterback? Who was better in their prime?
Who of them were better?
Who was a better game manager? Who threw the ball better? Who read the field better? Who would you want on your team? And lastly,
Montana.
Who was the better overall player? I look forward to hearing your responses. P.S. Prometheus was an awesome movie, Fred. Just saw it recently and loved it.
Montana is the answer to most of those. I think Brady actually throws the ball better.
Yeah, he does.
But scan the field, winner. I mean, Montana's got a lot.
Montana was also surrounded more frequently in his career by high talent players. Brady wasn't.
But Montana also went to a different team and made that team a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't think there was much of a difference in their talent. I really don't. I mean, Jerry Rice was a great, great wide receiver, but... You know, guys like Brent Jones and Tom Rathman and John Taylor.
Brent Jones was a good tight end.
Stiff. If he was on another team, you wouldn't even hear and wouldn't even know who he is. San Francisco, that overrated, like when you get on a team like the Niners and you just win it. It's like the Patriots now. You know, like Dan Copen is a Pro Bowl center because he was on the Patriots. You know, I mean, they're obviously the Niners were great. I'm not saying they weren't talented.
I mean, Rice and Taylor were a great combination of receivers for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so were Moss and Welker for a long time.
Really?
Well, not for a long time.
Shorter years. Time.
Shorter
for
than
a
them,
short
but
amount
4 years
of time.
Is a long time in the NFL. I think I agree with Andy. I think Brady throws a better ball.
In the regular season.
I disagree with you on the scanning the field. I think that's a huge strength of Brady. I think
Montana was
the West Coast offense where he knew where the ball was going all the time. And he just – I think it's kind of hard to compare, too, with eras because I think that it's just so geared now to throwing the football so often short, high percentage completion.
I think where they are
such
both –
such a different game.
I think where they're both very equal and why they were both great is their football IQ. They just smart.
Well, I think Eric's point about the Niners' talent is also extremely valid. I mean, the Niners were stacked. But they also played in an era where there were other similarly stacked teams that in the NFC, I mean, the Giants, the Bears, the Redskins, you know, the Rams today.
Cowboys.
I mean, the Rams
then.
The
Rams
then
were
as good
were
as.
Were very good.
You know.
Yeah.
A lot of teams now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they were like fifth, sixth.
Vince Ferragamo.
No, not
that far back. Yeah, Jim Everett.
I mean, those were good teams, but they were just not even anywhere comparable to San Francisco.
Stefan also writes
in,
he says Stefan lives less than a mile from where that attack took place.
Oh, really?
Roger Craig was a great
player. He says not everyone in England is like that. Well, I hope so. But where it happened, Woolwich was voted the worst place in the country to live. So
good to know if we ever go back.
Imagine
stay out of Woolwich.
Imagine if we were doing a radio show and then like someone came in, like Chandler Jones was here with us and he was just doing the whole show and Fred's taking emails and he says Jacob in Denmark and Andy said which one and Chandler Jones yeah. wait what?
We're global. Sorry, Chandler.
Yeah,
your brother could be listening in Moscow right now, or he could run into somebody in Moscow who knows us.
We just got an email from someone who saw your brother in Russia.
That's right,
and he knows why he's there,
and he knew he was him because he was the black guy. He kept saying that, like, he's I still haven't seen another black person. Like, and then people from Russia are like, and you won't.
More and more people are having shows like this, so it just shows that we were way ahead of the curve.
We drew.
And Fred can't go 10 minutes without patting himself in the back, evidently, today.
Let's see.
Are we done?
Yeah, just about.
Come on.
I'll read. It's kind of late.
Yeah,
just read it.
All right, I'll read one more. This is from Greg.
In Billing?
Second Lieutenant, U.S. Army.
Oh, thank you for your service.
I really enjoyed your last show and appreciate the assessments of the players you can provide from the OTAs, even though they're obviously made from the distance without the aid of numbers. We've heard a lot
sounds
of
like the titles of my blog.
We've heard a lot of seemingly contradictory things about the X, Y, and Z wide receiver roles this offseason, so I'd like to check my understanding of our current receivers in those roles. As I understand it, the X position is a speed guy who stretches the field vertically. Based on that, we really only have Boyce, who is built to play this role as designed, although Dobson projects to play better at the X than anyone we had last year. Or do I have that all wrong?
Well, I mean, he has the Gary Peterson, what's his name? TCU coach?
Patterson.
Basically said he's an inside guy. He's more of a Y.
Well, and then he says the Y position or slot is easier with Amendola, Edelman, and maybe the Mo, seemingly obvious.
The Mo? This guy is getting way too much run.
And possession receivers who line up outside the numbers
no
play,
Mo.
Play the Z, this would be a role we tap Jones and Jenkins to fill. Finally, last year we carried five real receivers plus Slater. What would you say are the chances we carry six receivers this season?
I have no idea.
I think last year was abnormally low. And remember, Eric, when you were here.
Brandon Lloyd turned his back to me.
Getting snubbed by everybody when you were asking very legitimate questions about the fact there were four wide receivers on the roster at the time. And I believe Greg Salas was one of them.
They had just traded for him to make five.
Okay, he was the fifth.
Yeah.
But I think that was abnormally low. I think that if you count Slater, they've had seven, if you count Slater.
Yeah, right.
In general, I would expect there to be a high number this year because I think that Boyce and Dobson, unless someone ends up on IR, you know, we know that Boyce is dealing with a foot problem. If that lingers and suddenly he ends up opening the season on a list, I think they're going to have a lot of wide receivers.
All right, well, that's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening this week. Next week. Anything going on? OTAs continue?
Perillo Challenge 2013.
Tuesday. Yes, we will have a OTA.
All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Long Ball Paul.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.